present
Judge
of the big new Mars Bar welcome you to Curtain Time. Another capacity crowd jams the lobby of our air-conditioned theater tonight. And here, looking cool as the proverbial cucumber, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what's the advance news on tonight's play?
It's a romantic comedy, Marlon, that should make you laugh. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater. For the night's production, now, Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seven close cents. Seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, these are excellent seats. But the theater will be darkened in a moment, so let's glance through the program. Harry Elders, supported by the Curtain Time Players, is starred tonight in The Story of Pat and Mike by Paul Bernard. Mr. Elders plays the part of Pat Wells. With Nanette Sargent on vacation, Loretta Pointerton is featured as Mary Ann Smith.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of The Story of Pat and Mike. The scene is the anteroom of the offices occupied by Charles Palmer. Standing in front of a desk is a good-looking young man who looks down eagerly at the young woman sitting there.
Mr. Wells?
That's right. Pat Wells at Liberty.
Mr. Palmer will see you now, Mr. Wells.
Great.
That's your station.
Okay. Say, you know, this guy Michael Brandt really knows how to handle a camera.
No.
I was just looking through that new book of his you have back there.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Palmer, this is Mr. Wells.
Oh, come in, Mr. Wells.
Well, Mr. Palmer, I hear you have a job for me, and I can certainly use it. Well, I haven't had a good part for...
Shall we get down to business, Mr. Wells?
Oh, yeah.
I understand you haven't worked as an actor for some time.
Oh, that's right.
Good.
What do you mean, good?
Well...
3 years ago, I had to make a choice. Either starve to death in the theater or ship out to sea on a freighter. The suntan isn't grease paint, Mr. Palmer.
Mr. Wells, let's not digress.
I couldn't hire you if there were the slightest possibility of you being recognized. That's why Mr. Palmer said good.
Miss Smith, I believe I'm capable of explaining to the person. Mr. Wells, are you acquainted with the work of Michael Brent, the photographer?
Oh, of course. I was just...
Well, I'm Mr. Brent's business manager.
Well, the way his new book is selling, I think...
I contacted your agent yesterday, and after I told him my problem, he recommended you.
Oh, that's good. But what's the plot?
Mr. Palmer is not producing a play.
Oh, a review, huh? Well, it just so happens that I have a fair thing, boy.
You won't have to use it.
I won't?
No, it so happens I need someone to impersonate Michael Brent.
Impersonate Michael
Brent? Have you ever seen a picture of Michael Brent?
Come to think of it, no.
I didn't think so. Mr. Brent has never had his picture taken.
He's very shy, afraid of crowds, and he hates people.
As you perhaps know, Michael Brent's new book has just been published. It's called The Camera is a Witness.
Yeah, I know. That's the book
Mr. Brent's publishers, Mr. Wells, without my knowledge, have arranged for him to make a lecture tour in conjunction with the sale of the book.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But with his phobia about public appearances, that's impossible.
And you want me to be Michael Brent?
Yes. We want you to make the tour. Of course, Miss Smith and I will go along with you to straighten out any problems which may arise.
Well, Palmer, it isn't exactly what I expected.
We'll pay you $10,000.
$10,000. Where's that contract?
Here it is.
Come to Palmer.
You'll notice that one of the clauses stresses absolute secrecy.
Yes, sir.
If you divulge your real identity, you automatically forfeit your fee.
Where do I sign?
Miss Smith had him sign the contract and give him a copy of the lecture. And Mr. Wells, memorize the lecture tonight and be here at 10 in the morning.
If you'll come back to my desk, Mr. Wells.
Just lead the way.
I'll go over the whole tour with you in the morning, Mr. Wells.
I'll be here right on the dot. Yes, sir, I'll give you folks the performance of my life, Miss Smith.
I just memorize the lecture word for word and keep the whole thing secret.
I'll say I'll keep it a secret.
Good. Here we are. Just sign the bottom line.
Okay. You know, it's things like this that make a guy glad he learned how to write. Miss Smith.
Yes?
You don't like Mr. Palmer, do you?
What?
Now, don't kid me, Miss Smith. I'm an actor. It's my job to observe you.
then I suggest you keep your observations to yourself.
Okay, but...
You'll see you tomorrow at 10.
Sure. But there's one thing about this I don't like.
What's that?
You and Mr. Palmer are coming along with me, right?
You don't suppose we trust you on a 3-month lecture alone, do you?
Oh, I don't mind your coming along.
You don't?
No, I imagine you're pretty nice when you get to know someone. But Mr. Palmer, he won't be any fun.
Is that so?
He's a stuffed shirt.
Mr. Wells, Mr. Palmer and I are engaged to be married.
Engaged to be?
I'll appreciate it if you keep your opinion to yourself. Good day.
Oh, brother. My first part in 3 years. $10,000, and right off by himself, the leading lady.
On the 24th, we're in Buffalo, on the 25th, Fair Street, and we close the tour in Albany on the 25th.
I see.
Now, is there anything you don't understand? Is everything clear, Mr. Wells? Mr. Wells?
Huh? Oh,
Is there anything else you'd like to know?
Yes. How could you up and engage yourself to a stuffed shirt like Palmer?
Mr. Wells, I told you yesterday...
I didn't sleep a wink last night thinking about
it. Nevertheless.
A pretty kid like you can get anyone you want.
I'm not interested in just anyone, Mr. Wells.
Oh, sure.
And I don't intend to discuss the matter any further.
I still think it's a shame. Well, tell me about the tour. Where does it begin?
Well, I just told you where... Haven't you been listening?
Nope. Just been looking.
Mr. Wells,
you know... Yes, Chief.
If you don't stop this foolishness, I'll be forced to ask Mr. Palmer to hover all the details with you himself.
Oh, no, not that.
And behave it.
Yes. Come think of it. Is your name really Miss Smith?
Oh, of course.
What's your first name?
It's Mary.
Oh, you're kidding. Mary Smith.
Well, it's Mary Ann Smith. Is that better?
Much better. I like that, Mary Ann Smith. Oh, by the way, where's Duffy this morning? He's supposed to be here at 10.
He's late. And his name is Charles Palmer.
Oh? I thought you said Michael Brent.
Michael Brent?
Yeah. Where'd I ever get the idea that Charles Palmer is really Michael Brent?
I don't know, but you'd better put it back.
Oh. Well, everything seems to fit together.
It
does? Yes. Brent is supposed to be a dashing, adventurous guy, always on the spot when there's an earthquake or a flood or a fire.
Oh,
now, if Michael Brent were really Duffy in disguise, he'd certainly keep it quiet or lose his reputation.
Yes,
sir. Come on. Palmer's really Michael Brent, isn't he?
I told you.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. I figured that one out last night, too.
But I didn't say it was so.
How do you like that? The most popular photographer in the country, and he's a social dud.
Mr. Wells, my fiancé may not be a personality boy with a flashing smile. Like some people I know, but...
Yeah. You really mean that?
Yes, I do.
Well, thanks. Suddenly, I feel much better about our future.
Mr. Wells, you are, without a doubt, the most conceited, self-centered, big-headed egotist.
And...
it has ever been my bad luck to come in contact with.
And...
you may as well understand once and for all that I'm in love with Mr. Palmer and he's in love with you.
Miss Smith!
What?
The telephone's ringing.
Oh, well, like... so what is it? Oh, yes, Mr. Bennett. No, he hasn't. Oh, yes. I haven't called you the minute you get here. Goodbye. And as for you, Mr. Wells, I'm going to do my best to have you fired the minute Mr. Palmer walks in that door.
Good morning.
Well, that was an entrance on cue, if I ever saw one.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Palmer, this man is impossible.
Oh, now, Miss...
the most insulting, the most exasperating...
But exactly what has Mr. Wells done?
Oh, yes.
I've discovered the identity of Michael Brandt.
You... Miss...
I didn't tell him a thing. But in his own little microscopic brain, he's decided you're Michael Brandt.
I'm Michael...
I told him he was wrong, but he insisted, Palmer.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to guess again, Mr. Wells.
Mr. Palmer, I insist that this man be disbarred.
Well, now, don't be too hasty, Mr. Palmer. You can't afford to have an unemployed, penniless actor running around knowing that the guy on tour as Michael Brandt isn't Michael Brandt. The newspapers might pay a lot for a story like that.
God, that's blackmail.
Let's just say I'm protecting my first acting job in 3 years.
I'm afraid he has just missed me.
Oh, that may be true of you, but it's not true of me.
Mr. Wells.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. The publisher's called. They've added Boston to the schedule.
Boston? Oh, that's impossible.
Oh, no, Mr. Palmer. Boston may be a little conservative, but it's not impossible.
And you can't appear in Boston.
Oh, but I don't mind.
If you appear in Boston, I'll be ruined.
Honest?
I'll call Bennett and tell him it just can't be arranged. You're not going to appear in Boston.
Mr.
Curtain Call is on the first act of my Curtain starring Harry Elder and featuring Loretta Boynton. And now, Myron Wallace.
In the United States, we become candy lovers early in life. In fact, one of the first words children learn to say is candy. And to candy lovers of all ages, boys and girls and adults alike, the taste of the big new 10-cent Mars bar is always a special treat. For in Mars, the toasted almond bar, you enjoy the truly rare combination of an extra thick, pure milk chocolate coating that is each high and packed with crunchy, fresh, whole toasted almonds all over a smooth, rich nougat center. Together, one of the greatest of candy triumphs. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar. By the makers of the big new Mars bar. Pat Wells has been hired to impersonate Michael Brent, the photographer, by Charles Turner, whom he suspects of being Mysterious Brent. Pat has also fallen in love with Mary Ann Smith, Palmer's secretary and fiance. Also, hearing that Pat, or Brent, is to appear in Boston, Palmer declared this was impossible. Well, now, a few days later, Pat and Mary Ann Smith are in a hotel room in the city, which is the first stop on their lecture tour.
So this is Boston, huh?
Yes, the home of the bean and the cob.
Well, not bad from what little I can see of it.
Well, we're sorry about keeping you in a hotel room like this, Mr. Wells, but, well, we have a good meeting.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's another reporter. Hello? No, I'm sorry, Mr. Brent is still in the phone.
Pretty fancy way of putting it.
I'm afraid that Mr. Brent won't be able to see the press out here.
You know, Ann, I wish you'd explain what's going on.
But I'll tell you what.
Duffy hired me at a salary of $10,000 to meet the public in the press. And what happened?
Well,
I get rushed from the train to the hotel in a private car, and I end up...
I know it must seem strange, Mr. Wells, but...
Just the same.
Well, right now, I'm putting you on your honor for a couple of hours.
Yeah? Why?
I have to meet Mr. Palmer. We have an engagement.
With whom?
I can't tell you, but it's... That's extremely important to my future.
How important?
Very important.
You're not meeting him to get married, are you?
Of course. I don't see why you should be so concerned about it, though.
Well, I am. It gives me a little more time to take you away from him.
Honestly, Mr. Wells, I've never met anyone with such a colossal ego in all my life. Frank Casanova, I'm all. And remember, not a word to anyone.
Look, if that appointment is as important as you say it is, you'd better wipe that smudge off your face.
What smudge?
Right there on your cheek. Here, I'll fix it.
So you...
You're cute, Ann.
And I suppose you think that kissing me was funny.
Oh, no, not funny.
Well, you have a smudge on your face, too.
I have? Where?
Right there. Good afternoon, Mr. Wells.
Oh, the sheep has a wallop. Well, what's that?
This is the maid, Mr. Brent.
The maid?
Yes.
What is it?
I brought you some supper.
Oh, just a minute. I guess I fell asleep.
Oh, Mr. Brent.
Say, you said you were the maid.
Oh, well, that was just a trick. So you'd open the door. Don't you think it was clever of me?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Really, Mr. Brent, you're just as I imagined you would be.
I am.
You only knew how long I've waited for this moment.
Well, maybe,
If Charles knew I was making you furious, this is furious.
Charles?
He warned me I shouldn't bother you. He said you were ill.
Look, who is Charles?
Why, Charles Palmer, you silly boy. I'm Mrs. Palmer.
You mean Charles is already married?
Oh, of course not. I'm his mother.
Oh. And your name is really Palmer?
Why, of course.
And your son's name is really Palmer?
Excuse me, Mr. Brent, but I...
Well, it's still possible, I guess.
What's still possible?
Why, that someone could use his own name and another name at the same time.
Dear me, is this supposed to be communication?
What I mean, Mrs. Palmer, is that someone could be the person one really is and at the same time be the person one is pretending to be. You understand?
It's as clear as a bowl of tea soup.
Well, when I'm the boss,
I've
got to shoot pictures here and I've got to shoot pictures there and...
But, Mr. Grant, you're in Boston right now.
Oh, that's right, I am.
Goodness me, you geniuses are all so absent-minded.
Well, you don't know the half of it, Mrs. Palmer.
Mr. Grant, I'll just admit it comes from seeing
Tom. Oh, so that was how it
happened.
I beg your pardon. Oh, it wasn't anything at all. I also talked to myself.
Well, Charles told me you're not leaving for Springfield until tomorrow noon.
I'm not?
No. And so I thought you should come out to the home tomorrow morning, or still around 9, and take some of your wonderful photographs.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't, Mrs. Palmer. I forgot to bring my Browning with.
Oh, but I'm sure Charles can take care of that.
But then he may not want to.
Oh, don't you worry, Mr. Brent. I'll handle Charles.
Well,
as I said to Miss Smith a second.
Yes.
Yes, you know Miss Smith, don't you?
Yes, I know her.
Oh, really? She's such a lovely child. So gentle, so sweet.
She's gentle and sweet?
Oh, yes. And she just worships the ground the child walks on.
Well, property values are pretty high here, I guess.
Really, I'm so happy they plan to get married.
Oh, sure.
I was so afraid Charles would get all mixed up with one of those horrible career girls.
Well,
I told him if he did, I'd cut him off without a penny.
You know, Mrs. Palmer?
Yes?
I think I can help you out.
You mean she took it?
You make the arrangements for tomorrow morning at 9. But there's one condition.
Anything you say.
You've got to promise not to breathe a word of this, either to your son or to Miss Smith.
Oh, mum, the word.
Okay, then I guarantee you'll have your pictures before we bought them.
Oh, Mr. Grant, thank you so much.
I can guarantee it.
Really? You've got no idea how grateful I am. Thank you again, Mr. Grant.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Palmer.
You darling man, you'll never know what a help you've been.
Well, believe me, you'll never know what a help you've been. No, ma'am. Never.
Here is Myron Wallace. In the heat of these July days, most of us will stop often to look for something new and enjoyable in the way of relaxation. And one little treat that will often bring pleasure these hot summer days is the taste treat of a Mars bar that has been chilled in the refrigerator. With each bite of the big new 10-cent Mars bar chilled, your teeth sink through a thick milk chocolate coating, now icy cold and crisp, and packed with crunchy, fresh, whole toasted almonds, and a cold nougat feather that is creamy, smooth, and rich. Here is the truly rare summer treat of candy at its cool, luscious finest. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar. The story of Dan and Mike, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. In Boston, where Charles Palmer and Mary Ann Smith have taken him to lecture, Pat Wells finds himself forced to stay in a hotel room. Charles's mother, however, got into the room and, thinking Pat was Michael Brent, the famous photographer, exacted a promise from him to take some pictures. Well, it's now later the same day. Pat and Mary Ann Smith are in the small anteroom in the lecture hall.
Now, Pat, just before Charles gets ready to introduce you, he'll call.
Okay.
You'll go straight from this room to the platform. As soon as you finish speaking, then come right back here and wait for me.
It's a date.
Lock the door and don't let anyone in.
Anything you say, Aunt.
Pat.
What?
I'm sorry I stopped you this afternoon.
Oh, it's all right. I like a woman with spirit.
Well, I guess it hasn't been very much fun for you. Set up in a hotel room and been locked up here in this tiny room.
I don't mind being locked in here with you.
Now, Pat, nothing for all...
You're beginning to like me, aren't you?
How could you get that out?
Well, you've been calling me Pat for the past 10 minutes.
Well, I didn't know.
That means your subconscious self is falling in love with me, but your conscious self is trying to fight it off.
Well, you'd be surprised to know how strong my conscious self can be.
You know, you remind me of a girl I used to know.
What, Charlie?
She was a self-made woman. But like most independent people, she had spells of loneliness. Well, during one of those low moments, a guy came along who seemed to be pretty sturdy and dependable, and before she knew it...
She was in love with him.
She thought she was.
But?
As time went on, well, she decided she didn't want to be completely dominated by anyone.
Oh, very interesting.
Only she was too stubborn to admit she'd made a mistake.
I think I've heard enough.
But then she met a guy who believed in live and let live.
And she saw in a flash that this was the man she'd been waiting for. So she tossed the first man aside and married a broken-down actor who hadn't made a dollar in 3 years. No, thank you, Mr. Wells.
Oh, maybe you'll change your mind, Anne.
Oh, listen, Pop, why don't you face the fact?
What fact?
This is only the first day of the tour, and already you're getting ideas. Why don't you behave like a grown-up?
Because kids are more fun.
Oh, I know.
Yes? You're ready, Mr. Burns?
I'll be right up. Look, Anne.
Pat, your theories on the comparative happiness of grown-ups and children will have to wait.
Well, all right, but...
Now, remember.
I know. Not a word you're letting.
Yeah, I'm going to get out of the talk. I'm going to be some applause.
Come on. I know what to do.
You just bow and cross that curly snout.
Okay.
Take that seat over there. Come on. I'll get you.
Okay, sweetheart. Here goes.
Thank you.
Oh, you can cover up your cheeks now. And for heaven's sake, sit down.
Ladies and gentlemen, any introduction of tonight's speaker will, I'm sure, be more than inadequate.
No, say.
Quiet.
The reputation of Michael Brent speaks for itself. And so, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you the author of The Camera is a Witness, Michael Brent.
Listen, Anne. There comes a time in every man's life when he has to act on a hunch.
What in the world are you talking about?
I may be making a mistake, Anne, but that's what love does to a guy like me.
Be on, Doctor.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. I appreciate your applause, but I must confess that I don't deserve it. I am not Michael Brent.
What are you doing, you fool? Stop the lecture.
Boy, you're bothering me.
What?
Well, as I was about to say, credit should be given where credit is due. And so it is with great pleasure that I present the person who is closest to all our hearts tonight, Miss Michael Brent. Come on, Anne. Can't let you down.
How did you do?
Come on, Anne. Stand on your own two feet. Come on. Don't let anyone tell you what you can do. You hear that?
Yes.
They're happy to find out that Michael Brent is a woman.
What?
There's only one guy in Boston who isn't, and he's gone.
That's
right. Nothing to do. Come on, do a good thing.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe I should stand on my own two feet.
Not a girl. Let him have it.
Well, hi, Steffi. You must have been a tremendous success, judging from the applause.
We had them eating right out of our hands, Steffi.
Indeed.
Oh, you should have stuck around.
I came back here to hide. I've never suffered such humiliation in my life.
Oh, how about the way Anne's been humiliated? Not being able to admit who she is because your mother didn't approve.
What do you mean by that?
You know.
Well, I don't.
Look, you thought he was keeping your identity a secret because he didn't want you to be bothered with all the fanfare that goes along with being a celebrity.
But that's true.
No, it isn't. Anne, his mother threatened to cut him off without a penny if he got involved with a career woman.
Why, that's a fabrication.
Duffy, old kid, your mother and I had a long chat this afternoon.
My mother?
Yes. She came to the hotel.
But I told her emphatically.
Duffy, where did you ever get the idea that women will obey orders forever?
Why?
They're bound to step out on their own once in a while, the way Anne did tonight.
Who's Anne?
Me.
You.
My name isn't Mary Ann Smith, Pop. It's really Michael Brent.
Mr. Wells, you made some very nasty accusations.
And I can back up every darn one.
Is that so?
Yes. Your mother wanted Michael Brent to photograph the kids out at that home. And that's why you always kept Anne away from Boston. You knew your mother wouldn't approve of her.
Anne, I mean Michael, this is a lot of nonsense.
Is it just Anne, Charles?
Yes, it is.
Charles?
Oh, good heavens.
Mrs. Parler, come right in.
You deceitful boy.
Charles, you know how I feel about career women.
But, Mother...
I told you I'd cut you off without a penny if you married anyone who didn't meet with my approval.
Well, Stuffy, what have you got to say now?
Well, I... Now, you needn't worry, Mrs. Thomas. There's no danger of your son marrying me. I wouldn't have him.
Michael,
now,
you
don't come along, Charles.
What about the pictures of the home tomorrow morning, Mrs. Palmer?
Well, I...
As Miss Brent's new manager, I can assure you that she'll be there at 9 sharp.
Well, naturally, I'm very embarrassed. I can thank you, I know.
Oh, don't thank us. We're doing it for those kids.
Well, very well, then. I'll see you at 9. Come along, Charles.
But Michael,
I don't say anything, Charles. It won't do any good. But Michael,
You heard what the lady said, Duffy. Beat it.
All right, but... Goodbye, Michael, and good luck. You will need it.
Well, there goes Stuffy.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he's right. Jim
right?
Well, we will need lots of luck. That's all the trouble we've been in since we first met.
Oh, that's what makes life exciting, Anne.
Charles, you'd better begin by calling me by my right name.
Oh, but, gee, you can't call a girl Michael.
Well, how about Mike?
Mike? Happy month.
So it's kind of cute. I'm glad you like it. But, you know something?
What?
You changed me into a very independent female.
Well, is that bad?
I don't know, but if you think I'm going to change my name for you, you've got another cent coming.
Look, woman, none of your list. I'm going to change your name at that very earliest opportunity. Got it.
The supporting players were Fay Palmer, Arthur Peterson, and George Beaver. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bob Father. The entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Young man. And now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the exciting Astor Theater spot here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Pat Allen reminding you of your day, every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of the big new Miles Bar present. Dr. I.Q., the Little Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, for the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Copyright Golden AB.